The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you along with Ray Allen. Together we are with you on this Thursday, the 26th of July, 2018. A little bit cooler today. Didn't really notice it that much, but high today is going to be about 106 after a couple of really, really hot and steamy days. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Have all of our podcasts. We've got 7.5 years of programs that are archived for you 24/7 for your listening pleasure at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. With me in studio is Michael Hicks. Mike is the president of the governing board of the Tucson Unified School District. Mr. Hicks, how are you, sir?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
Very good. You were the president of the board, and then you and Dr. Stegeman indicated he'd like the first six months of the year. How did that work out with him as president? Now you're back as the president.
Correct. I went ahead and gave him the first 6 months. He wanted to try to get some things done, and I hope that he got most of what he wanted to get done as the president. There were some things I didn't necessarily agree with, which is okay, and he's aware of that, but we get along great. I think we get along really good.
You weren't real happy with his first tenure, were you, when he was president, back during the whole Mexican-American studies controversy?
Well, it's not that I wasn't thrilled with it. There's just some things I thought he might have done more of a micromanagement of the administration more than I thought should have been done.
It was a troubled period for you. You were on national TV. You were accused of being a racist when it came to Mexican-American studies. Here we are now 6 or 7 years down the road. What is your feeling on that, and how did you feel about people calling you, Michael Hicks, a racist?
Oh, I don't care. As long as my friends and the people that I know who I am and what I stand for and my background, that's what means to me. Individuals who don't understand my background or where I came from or what I've done, that it's to me, that's like the last resort, is to call someone a racist just to call them a racist. But at that time, there was issues with how the Mexican American Studies program was run, how it was maintained, and what was brought forward. We were looking at a loss of almost, I believe it was $15 million from the state in regards to that. One of the things that really bothered me the most on that was I kept telling them, make it back as an elective. Mm-hmm. That course was never went through the process to become a core curriculum course. So I kept telling them, if you're really teaching critical thinking, won't you think critical thinking is move it back as an elective, keep it as an elective, this would all go away, and you would still have the Mexican-American Studies program today, probably. But they, you know, headstrong, and they were butting their heads up against the state and everything, and I could not afford to lose, or TUSD could not at the time afford to lose over $15 million for being found against the law. Whether or not the law was constitutional or not, at the time, it was the law. And they could have taken money from the entire district, and I thought that was not the proper way of moving forward.
So you have no regrets at this point?
I have no regrets. No, I have no regrets. I think actually it's okay now, because we now have the CRC courses, which is the culturally relevant courses, which if you go back to my resolution when we suspended.
Of 2012, yes.
We didn't ban it, we suspended it. And I asked that we bring forward courses that taught people's histories, all histories, everybody's history. We are a nation of a melting pot of all types of nations and all that. It's not just one or the other. We need to understand, I believe, for us and for our children to be able to get ahead in this global society, they need to understand why different cultures do different things, why some cultures you shake with the left hand, not the right hand, why, you know, they do things. So I think learning that more is more of the civics and all that. I mean, we don't even teach Arizona history anymore. I think they need more of that. So as it is right now with the culturally relevant courses, I've talked to students, I've talked to teachers, and everyone thinks those are classes are doing exactly what it was intended to do.
All right. What about this meeting that was held this week, Michael Hicks, about schooling some of these detained migrant kids? I think there's this 300 over there at that facility. It's called Southwest Key. Can TUSD play a role in trying to help these kids?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. The what we asked the administration to do at our last meeting was to investigate, work with the Pima County School Superintendent's Office and us and with Southwest Keys to see if there's anything that we can do to help with them, to educating of these children that are detained there. So that was that resolution. There's a lot to this. I mean, of course, we have to, there has to be payments. There has to be some way to fund this. So whether we have people there or they come to the school, I don't know. We just
but right now it. You're reaching out.
Right, correct. And actually, we had a individual from Southwest Key send us an email, myself and one of the other board members, and I believe the superintendent. And I've asked that they communicate with them and then start working that dialogue to see if there is any possibility that TUSD could help. Not saying that we are or we can, but I mean, it can't hurt us to ask
right. And
see what's going on.
So
one of the things that,
go ahead.
You know, we have to make sure that we can also educate our kids now that we already have. And we can't take away from that either. So, I mean, it'll be a work in progress.
And that's what I want to talk to you about, educating the kids now. What kind of shape as we get ready to open school in, I think, about a week or so, right?
Yeah, it's like a week
hard
and a half.
Hard to believe, you know, in this kind of heat, the kids going back to school. But, of course, I'm old school where I grew up on the North Shore of Chicago. We didn't even go back to school, my kicks, until after Labor Day.
Yeah, I went to Keene Elementary, Mansfield.
Things changed. You know,
yes,
now,
it did.
Some of the schools are actually in session already. I think Vail and some of the other places are.
But Vail's a year-round school,
I believe. Yeah. So how? What kind of shape are we in? That's my question.
Honestly, I think that we're going to be in good shape. We now have a student code of conduct that allows a teacher to have, I believe, better control over their classrooms. I believe that the principals have more power over their schools and be able to do things.
More secure schools?
Yep, more secure. We do have more secure schools now. All schools now have a protocol to get into the school. So that's really good. Our school safety has done a tremendous job in locking down the schools to where it doesn't look like a prison. So
with razor wire all over the place.
No, they've done a great job at doing their job at trying to keep our schools and our staff and students safe in the schools. But I think with this new student code of conduct that we can start getting more parents back into the district. I truly do believe in the public school system. I truly do believe that we offer more than charter schools and even some of the private schools in regards to our arts, our OMA, all the different things that students can do within our district sport. I think we offer much more rounded individuals. And I think that with the ability of a teacher to maintain their classroom much better than before. I think we're turning the tables.
All right. A caller wondered, should the kids who come to the United States who don't speak English go back to Mexico? That's the question from a caller.
I have no idea. That's up to them. I mean, if they're here, we're going to educate them. We're going to help them. I don't understand the question. I'm not going to engage in that. It's if they want to go back to Mexico, they can. I'm not going to say, well, you're here, you have to stay here now. Same as if I go to Mexico, you know.
Yeah, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Either you can stay or you can come back.
I'm not going to engage
okay.
in that.
All right. This portion of the program, Mike Hicks, is brought to us by our favorite bakery in town. Have you been up to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle? Do you know where that is?
No, I'm
They're
sorry,
located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Do you like bakery goods?
I love bakery goods.
Well, you may want to stop by Mona's. You can get a great sandwich right now with some bread that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago, and they just do some of the most incredible pastries. Up on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery. Go to buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's and a link to all of the partners of our program, making it all possible. We'll be right back with Mike Hicks after this.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all 7 home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Tucson Police Chief Magnus. Joining me in the conversation, Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business has Weekend Watch. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Makes a great drive over there. It's real easy. I-10, Lordsburg, take a left up to Silver City. Usually there in about 3 hours. And here's the good news. It's cooler. It's a higher elevation, so it's going to be at least 10 degrees cooler up in Silver City, and there's so much to do. Go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for a complete listing of the many places to stay and all the recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Mike Hicks with us, president of TUSD, who drives a, I think he said, 2004 Harley-Davidson?
Yeah, I have a 2004 Harley-Davidson and another bike that my son drives and a couple of cars.
That'd be a nice road trip for you guys.
Oh, there. I love it.
Yeah, you can probably make it over to Silver City on the bikes in about 3 hours pretty easy.
Yeah probably not bad. I don't think he'll go because he turned my Yamaha Classic into a bobber, which is one of the ones where you're straight bars. And
Now, how do you ride in this kind of heat? And I know you rode over here to the station, I think.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I just love riding. I don't mind the heat. It does get a little bit warm when I'm wearing my cut. My vest, for those that don't know what
a cut
is. Cut is what you call a vest when you have patches on it.
Oh.
So I'm part of the Moose Riders.
Moose Riders, and that's a local chapter? Or?
That's a local club. It's the Moose Lodge. We do events for children and adults and animals and that.
Oh, very nice.
We do fundraising.
Michael Hicks with us. He is the president of the TUSD Governing Board. Mr. Hicks was the president up until the end of the calendar year last year, then under an arrangement that he and Dr. Mark Stegman worked out. Dr. Stegman would do about 6 months, first 6 months of the year, and then Mr. Hicks would resume his duties as the president. And you are running for re-election. There are, let's see, two seats, and I don't even know how many candidates, maybe about total of five. So if you're re-elected, and I know there is a possibility that you have thought about Ward 4, that's the council seat held by Shirley Scott right now. You've thought about running in 2019. Could you conceivably do both?
Yes, you can do both because the TUSD is a nonpartisan position where the city council would be a partisan position, which I think it shouldn't be a partisan position, but that's here nor there. Mm-hmm. It would just depend on what days the meetings would be held. When my foster father was the mayor, they had meetings on Monday.
And that was Mayor?
Lou Murphy.
Lou Murphy, yeah, your foster father. And they had meetings on Mondays?
They had the board, council meetings were on Mondays.
Okay. All right. Well, that is down the road. The immediate needs, of course, TUSD going back to school, the teachers, morale must be a little better. As kind of you've talked to teachers, you think that morale's better because there's a little more money in their paychecks.
Well, there's actually more money into the paychecks. The Red for Ed movement is still going strong, and they're still working on that. So there may be hopefully more monies for not only the pay raise, but for the classroom and for even the support staff, educational support staff, which is
the bus drivers, janitors.
You know, it's funny when people say, well, no, you got to get it. But then you turn around and go, it takes a village to raise and educate children. Well, a village has more than just one type of individuals within it. So it does take a village to raise our kids. And I'll be honest, there ain't a single person that's at a school that isn't educating our kids, mm-hmm. from the janitors to the lawn people.
School nurses.
They're all educating our children.
It's a full team, isn't it?
Yes, it really is.
Mike Hicks with us on the Buckmaster Show. I want to talk a little bit about the how's the feel with the board. We had kind of the tone of the board seems to be improving. We had Rachel with us, Sedgwick, a week or so ago. She seems to feel folks moving in the right direction. You've been around a while. What do you think? I think you had a retreat, right?
We had a retreat.
All-day retreat. Everybody sat and and talked.
It wasn't really the kumbaya.
Hash it all out. Right? Mm.
But I think what it mainly is going to entail is the board leadership communicating with each of the members and actually communicating with each. Ms. Sedgwick and I have had our differences, mm-hmm. and I've sat down and sat with her, and we've worked out some of them. And I have my faults. She has her faults. Ms. Grijalva has her fault. Everyone has. Mm-hmm. But it's try to embrace. We need to remember the end goal of us working together is for the children and the benefit of the children and moving forward. And honestly, I think we can get past that, some of the past that we've had. And I'd like it to where, you know, we're not in the news every time we're mm-hmm. on.
Yeah. Every time you have a board meeting. Are the meetings going a little smoother as far as time-wise? Some of those meetings have gone on to 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. When I first got to be on the president, I put in that we had a 10 o'clock curfew, and then we had to vote to go on. The only issues that I have now is in regards, we don't really get through our agendas because we sometimes allow the public to take over the meetings. Like our last
meeting.
They
then become in control when they take over with the call to public.
Correct. Our last meeting was a 20-minute time limit for call of the audience. We were actually there over an hour. So I would love to have my fellow board members understand, you know, this is a meeting of the board to do school and board business, not in the public, not a meeting of the public. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference. We need to get these same. We have things that need to be done, and the reason I put in the 10 o'clock is. It's a known fact that the later in the night that it gets, people get tired.
You make poor decisions after
6 hours. Correct. Right, right. You're not making decisions mm-hmm. at the peak of your performance.
It's that
tired.
Old body rhythms thing, you know. By 10 o'clock, most people think it's bedtime.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the bottom line. One thing we haven't talked about this TUSD DSEG order that goes back to the Middle Ages.
1973-74. I was at Tucson High then.
Were you really? You were teaching then?
Or? No, I was a student then.
Okay, well, so tell me, is that going to go away or at some point? Or?
Well, we're trying to get out from underneath the DSEG order. I believe we're doing, and our administration is doing what we need to do to get out from underneath the DSEG order. It has been gone for a long time. But I'm going to be brutally honest. I don't think we will ever be out from underneath the DSEG order because after 40 years of individuals making money off of this and being able to manage a district of this size and basically run it, mm-hmm. it's hard to give up that control.
So tell me again, now, you don't, kind of the quote from the interview here, you do not see an end to the TUSD DSEG order in the future.
Absolutely.
I was going to say foreseeable future, but you just said you don't ever see
it. I don't see.
So maybe we should kind of rephrase it in your lifetime or whatever.
Right.
Or something. Like.
Although I am very surprised of the new ruling that just happened with San Francisco, mm-hmm. with one of the most liberal courts in the land making a landmark decision differently in regards to concealed weapons. You know, it may be tides are turned to where they'll go, okay, it's time. This is because I can tell you, this district, Tucson Unified School District, provides more benefits to all of our children, even children mm-hmm. of multiple races. Mm-hmm. We provide more for these students than any other district, I think, in the entire state of Arizona.
Okay.
We have done quite a bit. Now, there's little things that people are fighting about, but okay. I believe that this district has done great things, and we should be out. I would love for us to be
You'd
out.
You'd love it, but you don't DSEG. See an end to it. Let's leave it right
Correct.
At that. Okay. Mike Hicks, be careful out there on your motorcycle, okay?
Thank you. I will.
All right. Thanks a lot.
I teach motorcycles, so.
Wow.
All right.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Tomorrow for our Friday Focus interview, Chief Magnus will be here. Lots to talk about with the chief on police issues, the police staffing, crime issues, all sorts of stuff at noon tomorrow. But right now we're going to talk about what seems to be, and I think it rightly so, one of the most important issues, our roads here in Tucson and Pima County. Farhad Mogimi is with us. Farhad is the head of the Pima Association of Governments, and he is also head of the Regional Transportation Authority. Farhad, good to see you.
Thank you for having me here. Good to see you as well.
For folks who are new to the area, and there's always a lot of folks that come in that they're listening to the program, may not understand about PAG's role and what RTA is all about. Just a kind of the 30,000-foot overview of what those two and how they interact.
PAG's role as a council of governments is mostly a designation by a state and a federal government. So PAG as a council of governments and the planning agency for the entire region is responsible to make sure that all of our planning when it comes to especially transportation, air quality, water quality, is in compliance with federal and state laws and regulations. And by doing so, then we're able to be eligible for federal funding, state funding, to be able to invest in our infrastructure, and any other funding sources that come to the region would meet that requirement before we're able to spend those dollars.
And the Regional Transportation Authority is under the umbrella of the Pima Association of Governments?
The Regional Transportation Authority is actually created by the state legislation. And in the legislation specifically, which was updated back in 2004, the state law authorized PAG as the Council of Governments to manage the RTA. But RTA is a standalone entity. It's a special taxing district. And the voters approved the plan itself back in 2006, as well as the funding source that comes with it, which is a half-cent sales tax back in 2006. And that plan and the sales tax that goes with it pays for all the improvements within the special taxing district for the RTA. We're roughly over 12 years into the implementation currently, and the plan expires in June of 2026.
When you look back over now, the 12 years into the plan, and the voters approved a very specific items on this plan. This was a huge a menu, if you will, wasn't it, Farhad?
Yes, and that was really the intent at the time. If you recall, before the RTA was passed in 2006, there were several other initiatives in the region that unfortunately failed for various reasons. And one of the reasons that I think we heard loud and clear back then was that the public, before they're willing to vote for something, they wanted something very specific, a list of actual expenditures, so they can track it and be able to go back and be able to hopefully build that level of accountability and trust with the public that we are doing what the voters approved. And we're doing that. We recently, last year actually, we had an audit that was required by the state legislation to have an audit of the performance of the RTA. That was completed recently. And I'm happy to report that we were able to meet all the requirements of the audit. The projects are all coming in within budget, on time, and the performance of the plan itself is being really kudos coming from all parties and all interested individuals who are involved with it, that we are doing exactly what we said what we're going to be doing. We actually have a Citizens Oversight Committee that's responsible for that oversight. So I want to really thank them for their service and providing that oversight opportunity and reporting to the RTA board, which really enable us to be able to be accountable and hopefully gain the public's trust.
Before we talk about the next step, which will be, the reauthorization, I guess, right, of the RTA. I mean, you're thinking about that right now.
Yeah. So obviously it takes some time and effort, and we're starting the process. The RTA board recently appointed 35 citizens to a citizens committee to help develop the new plan, the continuation of the RTA, which would essentially be from 2026 on for another 20 years. So that group just began in July. They had one meeting so far. It's easily going to take at least 2 years, if not longer, to be able to meet and be able to develop a recommendation that would go back in front of the voters. So the process is starting. We look forward to being out and about in the community and letting people know what's in the plan. At this point, essentially all options are open for the Citizens Committee to consider. Obviously, priorities might have changed. So they're looking at all the options and all the possibilities, and nothing is really predetermined at this time.
Now, would the the vote have to come at the end of the 20-year period, or what are you thinking there?
The legislation allows us to go any time.
Really?
So we can go at any time. Obviously, you want to make sure that you give yourselves and the community some time to consider what's in the plan. So we don't intend to rush the process. We're easily going to take at a minimum 2 years, if not longer, to develop a plan and then educate the community about what's in the plan, get feedback from the community. There's going to be very extensive public involvement process involved. And then we'll decide what's a good time to put it on the ballot. But no, it doesn't have to be in 2025. It could be any time between now and then.
All right. So what are some of the marquee projects, some of the projects that the biggest projects that have been completed? What's still out there?
Well, so far, the larger projects obviously is the traffic interchange at I-10 and INA. That project is under construction currently, and it's going to provide a significant improvement, safety improvements because of the railroad crossing, as well as access in the northwest side of town. Tangerine Road is also under construction, almost finished. So that project is a larger project as well. On the east side of town, we have the Halton Road project. There's the bridge over the railroad that's currently under construction. And the next phase of that would be another new bridge over I-10. The other projects that are coming up within the near future would be the Valencia Road project between Wilmot and Kolb. And that intersection is very congested. We do have some safety concerns at that intersection. That's all going to be under construction here shortly. We have a bunch of other projects that are in design and that are going to be ready for construction. Broadway is one of them. Phase 3 of Grant Road is another one. So I encourage you to go to our website and take a look at it. There's a lot of activities. That's rtamobility.com. And hopefully you'll find more specifics on all the projects, whether they're in planning, design, or construction phases.
Yeah, and just from what you were saying, the two that kind of pop out, sort of the big projects, Grant Road and Broadway.
Yes.
Yes, those are going to be
So Grant Road Phase 3, that's in design currently, and that'll be in construction within the next few years. And then Broadway is almost done with design, and hopefully that'll be in construction within the next few years as well.
What's the economic impact of RTA? How do you look at that? These transportation investments, these have provided a lot of jobs, haven't they?
They have, and again, depending on who you ask, there are different models that can analyze the economic impact and economic benefits of it. The easiest one that everybody can wrap their hands around is the streetcar downtown. The streetcar downtown was roughly $75 million of a local RTA-funded investment. We had some additional federal funding as a grant. That investment alone, based on a lot of recent numbers, has brought in over $1 billion worth of private investment as well.
Well, look what's happened downtown. It's unbelievable.
Exactly. I mean, I remember the day that we announced that we're starting the construction on the streetcar, we started getting a lot of attention from folks from all over related to private development, land use opportunities, and it followed. You can see all the activity downtown. We got the new hotel downtown, several businesses that have moved downtown, and obviously the restaurants and the bars that, again, if you go downtown anytime on a Friday night after 8
Things
or 9
are
o'clock,
booming. They're booming
it
downtown.
Looks different. It's not the same downtown as it was even 5 years ago.
And I reflect on my conversations on TV years ago with Mayor Walkup. I would, every month I had the mayor on, and we would, the first question, Farhad, was always, when are we going to see something happen downtown?
That's right.
And
that's
he kept right. saying, you watch, you know. And then we get the streetcar, and a lot of people were saying, well, why do we need the streetcar? Look what's happened, how exactly. it became a catalyst for downtown.
Exactly. So many of transportation investments, you know, you're always going to get a few folks that don't believe mm-hmm. that it's going to have that benefit. And then there are folks that really are true believers from the onset. But I would submit to you, everything that's in the RTA plan has really been a catalyst at a local level, and some of them at a larger regional level. And again, my philosophy is that, you know, if the community decides to invest in itself, and hopefully they'll be able to see the benefits of it and the impact of it. And that's just a really good example of how transportation investments are paying back.
All right, Farhad Moghimi, thank you very much, Farhad. And again, if people would like to know more, they can just kind of Google, I guess, RTA, right?
RTAmobility.com, and there are several different RTAs, but sure you can find us.
Put in RTA Tucson, it will come up, or RTA Mobility.
There you go.
Okay,
there
thank you
go.
Very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all 7 home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion presented by our friends at Green Things. Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, and they're also just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Some exciting things happening over at Green Things. On their 13-acre site now, they are the home to Zocalo. Zocalo for years had all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America over at their store near Broadway and Country Club. Well, the store is now all the merchandise, everything's moved over to Green Things. So you can do all of your nursery needs for your garden, and you can get some great items for your home there at Zocalo. Go to greenthingsaz.com. There is a three-way Democratic primary for the Arizona legislature in District 9. One of the incumbents will be going asking voters to send him back to Phoenix for a third two-year term is Dr. Randy Fries, who is with me in studio. Dr. Fries, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And you look wide awake after pulling one of your 24-hour shifts at the emergency room.
That's right, yes. Unfortunately, it's harder and harder to do as I get older, but it's still a challenge, and I do enjoy it.
And how many of those do you have to pull a month?
Usually four, mm-hmm. sometimes three, sometimes five, but most of the time four a month.
One of the things that you've been very outspoken about, because you, let's face it, you are on the front lines when it comes to gun injuries, shotgun wounds, whatever. That's been kind of a big issue that you have not been silent about. You've spoken out on it.
I think, it's one of the reasons why I decided to run for office as a trauma surgeon, critical care provider. I am on the front lines of this issue. And, having been at the hospital after the Tucson shooting, it was one of the things that made me decide to run for office. And I'm not going to be silent about it. It is something that we need to talk more about. We need to talk intelligently about, we need to recognize it, and we need to, in my 4 years in the legislature, my colleagues have been afraid to talk about it. They have not wanted to talk about it. I have introduced bills and not been able to get committee hearings because they haven't wanted to talk about it. This past year, we were able to push to the floor a vote on the bump stock ban, and it was the first time in my 4 years there that a gun safety measure was receiving a vote on the floor.
How'd it do?
It failed, and it actually was substituted out there was parliamentary rules played, but we still were able to force a vote on the measure, and it failed along party lines. Every single Democrat voted for it, and every single Republican voted against it.
What's your common sense approach to gun issues?
Persistence, and I think it's paying off. I really do, because after that vote, some Republicans came up to me and said they were very uncomfortable making that choice, and they felt that, they would reconsider that option again if we ever had the chance. So I think, as I said at one of my town hall meetings the other day, is that normally the Republicans turn their backs on this issue and become a rock. Well, there are cracks in that rock, and we are going to be persistent and like the Colorado River on that rock and open it up. And it will happen. It's just a matter of time, because this is what Arizonans want. This is what Americans want. They want their leaders to speak and discuss and find solutions to this gun violence problem that's uniquely American.
At your town hall meeting, what else came up? Healthcare, I assume.
Yes, access to health care is very important to my constituents, particularly quality health care for those who are financially challenged, and making sure that kids' care remains funded. That was something we did a few years ago, was take the freeze off kids' care. But this session, we were entertaining right now in the law, if the 100% match from the federal government goes away, then kids' care is automatically frozen. And we were trying to uncouple that mandate and just simply say, if the federal money decreases, the legislature then can consider unfreezing it. But right now, it's automatic, and we were unable to uncouple that. But it appears the federal government is planning to fund that 100% match for a few more years, so hopefully that won't be an issue. But we should uncouple that and allow the legislature that is sitting at that time to make that decision.
And of course, everyone's talking about Red for Ed and its impact on our lawmakers. Some of your thoughts.
You know, that was a very amazing thing. I've only been in the legislature for 4 years. Very valuable, very honored to serve. But to have 50,000 to 70,000 teachers up there for days and days in a row, very powerful. And I was happy to be a voice for them and to say, I understand that the governor is putting more money into education. Money he said wasn't there just a few days earlier.
A few days before all the demonstrations, what was being talked about?
A 1% raise. The governor said, I only have money for a 1% raise. He must have done a poll or something, because 2 days later, he turned around and said he found 20% raise money. But I was happy to be the voice to say it's not enough. Our schools need more. Our students need more. We shouldn't just be calling this a raise for teachers. This is a reinvestment in public education and making sure that our classrooms get the funds they need to give the opportunity to our students to improve their lives through public education.
And so I think it's safe to say without the teachers showing up, it would have been a different narrative.
Very much so. And the teachers started showing up even before they came to the Capitol. They would show up wherever Governor Ducey was, doing a radio show or giving a speech. They would show up and make it known to him that they weren't happy with that 1% raise, and that we had asked for 4% the year before, and he had initially promised a 0.2% raise, if you remember. They ended up getting a 9% raise this year and continuing to get more money through the next years, but it's not enough. Our schools shouldered the burden of the tax cuts through the recession. It's time now for them to reap some rewards and get the funding they deserve.
Speaking with District 9 Democrat Dr. Randy Freese, as you look and you held your town hall meetings, is there a sense, as I said, this is your third run, is something different as far as energized Democrats? We keep hearing about a blue wave that might be coming. What are some of your thoughts on that?
I am certainly seeing more new faces everywhere I go, more people engaging. There's nothing more powerful than an informed voter, and I certainly encourage that and welcome the new faces. And the other thing that I think that we're doing is encouraging people to forget the old adage of don't talk politics with your friends and family and neighbors. You must talk politics with your friends and family and neighbors, because you find that you actually have more in common than you really thought, and you really need to figure out which candidates best represent you and your values and your priorities. And you can do that more efficiently and more effectively by talking to your friends and families and neighbors about the candidates that are out there.
Well, I agree. I think that is very important. But in this polarized environment, Dr. Freese, people, you know, they're afraid sometimes to even bring up how they feel about any politician in this environment.
I think that one of the reasons that we've become polarized is because we have been reluctant to talk about it and find our common ground. You know what? You can still care for someone, you can still like someone, you can still enjoy someone's company, and you can disagree.
I would agree. Now, what about this session of the legislature, if you are sent back to Phoenix? What will be the big issue? Will education again be a front burner issue?
I think it will be. And when I first ran in 2014, I thought education was a huge issue and it couldn't possibly be bigger. And then in 2016, it was bigger. And now in 2018, it's again bigger. I think it's on the boilerplate. I think Proposition 1, 2, 3 cooled it down a little bit for just a short period of time, but it has come to a full boil again, and we must pay attention to funding our schools, because that is a mandate in the Arizona Constitution. We must establish and maintain a system of public education that is general and uniform, and we have failed to do that for several years.
As far as the medical situation, you are on the front lines, as we say, being a physician. I'm just curious, are there any other physicians in the at the Capitol, Senate, or on the legislative side?
Right now, I think the only other healthcare provider we have is Regina Cobb, who's a dentist and has an mm-hmm. active practice up in northern Arizona. Mm-hmm. There are some physicians running. I know that there is a Democratic physician, a Dr. Hughes, running. I believe it's LD22. There are some other healthcare providers. I think there might be some nurses running for legislature. I think it's very important. You know, that's the concept of a citizen legislature. So we bring people together with different specialties, and we develop a common knowledge and begin to solve problems by putting our solutions together and hammering them out.
All right, Dr. Freese, where can people find out more about you?
My website is drfreeseforhouse.com. That's drfreeseforhouse.com.
All right, Dr. Randy Freese, thank you very much. Pleasure to see you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be here.
Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen, my friend Ray, who's on the other side of the glass right now, will help Mike out from 4 to 6, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. Tomorrow morning, or tomorrow afternoon, just after the morning at 12:04, we have Chief Magnus. That's going to be an interesting sit-down with the chief, talking about so many issues affecting the Tucson area. Dylan Smith will join me in studio. Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com. So until then, have yourself a great afternoon and evening.